All right, welcome into Surviving Paradise, the little podcast that takes a sometimes serious, often humorous look at the claim by Jehovah's Witnesses that they, as well as the rest of us, are living in a modern-day spiritual paradise. I'm your host, Stacy Bauman, former elder, ministerial servant, most importantly, a kid raised as one of Jehovah's Witnesses, my generation being the 70s, 80s, and into adulthood into the 90s. As I like to do, I always warn everyone, we like to have a little fun here. We have some laughs. We sometimes have some cries. The idea is to heal, listen in, get some perspective, create community. Sarcasm, humor, and everything else is all mine. All mine. Okay. Still getting some notes by people that say, hey, I don't like the misplaced laughter. Totally understand that, respect it. Nonetheless, I'm going to stay true to my personality. I think laughter heals, and I think it's an important part of the emotional process for those that have left or are in the process of considering leaving Jehovah's Witnesses, which I highly recommend, as you will note. Listen in. I'm going to give a special and even extra trigger warning this week. This isn't a fun subject. Not at all. It's sensitive. It's downright horrific. It's taken me a little bit to build up to this. I'm being vulnerable and transparent here. I absolutely hate this subject. It makes me sick. Might be emotional. Don't know. Don't know what the next hour or so holds. But I want to give an extra trigger warning to anyone that has stumbled into this little show that we're going to discuss something highly sensitive, highly sickening, highly criminal this week. But before I tell you what that is, as you might have guessed, I want to ask you, what in your mind defines evil? What and how do you define evil? Keep that thought. We're going to come back to it here in a bit. Jehovah's Witnesses have a complex. Well, let's be real. They have several complexes, actually. But this particular complex may rise to the top. Certainly in recent years, without question, it has. It gets regular attention from the now 10 King guys in upstate New York. It's in billions and billions of pages of literature. It's featured in endless Watchtower life stories and experiences. And in modern times, today, it is regularly pounded into the heads of all Jehovah's Witnesses. And I do mean all, not just men and women or adults. That includes innocent baby brains, children that may be in the audience or exposed to their propaganda. In modern times, they've upped their game. It's in dramatic videos. It's in Pixar-like animations made for kids of Jehovah's Witnesses called Caleb and Sophia, Be Jehovah's Friend. Wannabe cartoons for baby minds to feed on, to lie in bed and worry about until they drop off to sleep. That complex, that subject, is persecution. Now look, this one you can't take lightly. Not that you could take any of them lightly. But where do you find anything in persecution to take lightly? Persecution and preparing for it has always been a regular, constant message from the leadership of Jehovah's Witnesses. It feeds their distorted view of who they are as a group in the grand scheme of things in this universe. When I was a kid, persecution was highlighted on an almost every summer district convention. I don't think that has even changed, as we will come to see. Oddly enough, at the time of this recording of this episode, if you go to the homepage of their website, the URL of which I will not promote or give out, but it's easy to find, features the following article at the top of the page. Quote, Jehovah's Witnesses and the Holocaust. What does the Bible say? End quote. Newsflash, the Bible doesn't talk about the Holocaust. So if you're looking for it, don't waste too much more time. but it gives you a snapshot by coincidence of how they leverage this subject of persecution. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, everyone is out to get you. And I do mean everyone. From the invisible bad guys like Satan and his demon friends, to every other religion on this planet, to every government in every country on the entire planet, on and on it goes. That's right. All of these institutions, every organization, really every person, even invisible bad guys we cannot confirm are actually there, are all absolutely consumed with all things Jehovah's Witnesses and what they are doing. Their goal in life is to stop it. They watch on day and night. The expectation of persecution is regularly forced upon the whopping 8 million people. If that sounds like a big number, consider that there are over 8 billion people on the planet, and most of those people are located in developed or Western countries whose current claim to fame is bothering people on Saturday mornings by knocking on their doors, interrupting your cup of coffee over breakfast, interrupting your cartoons, to hand you books and magazines those actual deliverers cannot explain themselves, or whose claim to fame is standing by a book cart on a street corner, ignoring you as you pass by as they stare into their cell phones. The entire universe, or so we are to believe and are told by Jesus' 10 guys, welcome in, two new dudes. The entire universe is obsessed, and they live in fear of Jehovah's Witnesses. The chief concern of every known institution on this planet is to stomp out everybody listening to the 10 guys in upstate New York. It's a regular diet of fear by means of persecution. I take you to the Insight from the Scriptures bound volume. I guess it's not a bound volume, volumes 1 and 2. This in volume 2 under the aptly titled subject, Persecution, where the 10 guys tell us this, quote, "Persecution takes various forms. It may be limited to verbal abuse, ridicule, and insults, or it may include economic pressures, bodily injury, imprisonment, hatred, and even death. It may be promoted by religious authorities, or it may be carried out by uninformed persons and ignorant ones, or by unreasoning, fanatical mobs. But often, these parties are only the agents of more powerful and sinister instigators, unseen wicked spirit forces." End quote. Persecution, as taught to Jehovah's Witnesses by the 10 guys in upstate New York. Now, let's just get this out of the way early, okay? Religious persecution is a complex subject. Make no mistake, Jehovah's Witnesses have been persecuted. There is no end to the horrific, tragic, just gut-punch, awful stories of what has happened to Jehovah's Witnesses throughout the past century. You will never, ever catch this little show host minimizing such tragedy. It literally makes me emotional. Take that for what it's worth. It is awful. And as a guy who gave public talks on persecution, I forget the exact outline number, and I was asked to give it in multiple congregations, and I got emotional on stage, not going to lie. Persecution has always been a subject that deeply, deeply disturbs me. But for the most part, I'm going to stay away from what I feel is one of the most evil and devastating things experienced by thousands of Jehovah's Witnesses, including things like the Holocaust, Malawi, for those of us old enough, Rwanda in the 90s, 2000s, the Hutu and Tutsi, the stuff in Russia, the stuff in Eastern Europe. They happened, okay? Know that if you're sensitive to this subject, they happened. And it's disgusting to persecute any group of people who aren't harming other people. And at the risk of getting really emotional, I'm only going to reference these stories or these facts to prove the point. In this episode, I want to focus on how the governing body has used persecution to strike fear into Jehovah's Witnesses, to control the masses, the upwards, the alleged number of 8 million worldwide, which isn't much when you consider world population. Nonetheless, 8 million precious souls and people. I want to focus on how they use that fear to control their people, the mental game they play to create subtle character constructs in people, hero complexes, nightmares for children, the imagery they use today, or the endless reminders of some of the tragedies I just referenced. And trust me, they leverage those stories and experiences to their benefit. Just saying that makes me sick. It may be shocking for many to learn that while some of the persecution endured was due to them standing up, those people, those Jehovah's Witnesses, standing up for what they believe in, it might shock many to know that much of the tragedy was avoidable. It didn't have to happen, even to Jehovah's Witnesses. Many, many thousands of people have lost their lives remaining loyal to a man-made organization that is not only disloyal in return, but flat out lies to their people and sends them headfirst into the slaughter. The governing body has no problem sacrificing Jehovah's Witnesses on the altar of the organization or universal sovereignty. See past episode. Persecution, as well as such teachings as their blood doctrine, or how about child safety in their kingdom halls, are all proof of the fact that the governing body sees Jehovah's Witnesses as numbers, a field service report, an annual report. They will send them headlong into danger, unnecessary tragedy, death, and mayhem if it supports their message that they alone are chosen by Jesus to run the planet, not only today, but into the future, when they'll get to toss fireballs at all of us that don't agree with them. So let's focus on what they do to a Jehovah's Witness mind. The common person sitting in a kingdom hall who rolls up a couple times a week, who gets baptized, believing they get to live in paradise, have a fruit basket and a pet panda. What they do to these people's minds is where I'm going to focus. And the messaging starts early. It's somewhat subtle in the beginning, but it gains steam, and they use this subject of persecution and fear to reinforce their message at every opportunity. Their proof is endless. We won't have time to talk about it all. First, the 10 guys in upstate New York reminds their people regularly that there is no way, and I mean zero, none, no way to escape persecution. And it even creates a paralyzing guilt in those Jehovah's Witnesses that aren't currently experiencing persecution, as if something is wrong with them, if they're not suffering in some grotesque way at this very moment. I can only share my own experience and observations. I used to feel that guilt when I heard what my brothers were going through in other countries. It used to eat at me from a young age. I'm outside riding my bike Saturday after field service. A kid my age in another country is being tortured. Where did I get that information? The Kingdom Hall, from the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses in the 80s and the 70s. So even though I didn't experience persecution at the level of kids in other countries or men and women in other countries, it was on my mind, and I felt guilty about it. because I was going to the roller skating rink to hold hands with the girl I was in love with while they were being tortured and killed. And I got that message Sundays at the Kingdom Hall. I used to feel that guilt. So the governing body, despite those who may not be undergoing persecution for their ridiculous message, also pound the guilt into the rest of the witnesses who may not be. And they say there is no way you're going to escape this. If you're currently enjoying cotton candy and a movie, rest assured your day is coming. You're going to be doing what your brothers in other countries are doing, enduring persecution. Don't believe me? Let's go right back to Insight from the Scriptures under that same article, Persecution. Under the little subheading called Proper Attitude Toward Persecution, it says this: if one keeps God's commandments as a Christian, it is impossible to escape persecution. For all those desiring to live with godly devotion in association with Christ Jesus will also be persecuted. End quote. So you guessed it. There it is. Like the fine print on a contract. You get baptized, you are most definitely going to experience persecution. So that reality hits you no matter your age. And most of the people who get baptized as Jehovah's Witnesses are quite young. I was 17. We've talked about on this little show that on record, they've talked about people as young as 8 or 9. You get in a pool, you get baptized. Guess what? You're going to be persecuted. It's coming. What will it be? So you guessed it from the beginning. A baptized Jehovah's Witness believes persecution is inevitable. And this includes children, little kids, babies listening in. And if they're not yet experiencing persecution, there's something wrong with you, and you must not be following Jesus, because the Bible says you're in for it. If you're truly following Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. They build entire watchtower studies, dramas of the past, public talks around the following verse. And keep in mind, if you're sitting in a Kingdom Hall as a kid, you're hearing this. And you're being told by everyone older than you that you need to get baptized in order to survive Armageddon. By the way, just to get to survival of Armageddon, you're also going to face torture and possibly death. I give you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, which says, quote, in fact, all those desiring to live with godly devotion in association with Christ Jesus will also be persecuted, end quote. Okay, I'm going to school, I'm doing my homework, or I'm a young adult, my 20s. Whatever the case may be, I'm not currently being persecuted, but the day's coming. And if I'm not being persecuted in some way, by their definition, verbally, socially, economically, am I a follower of Jesus? Oh no, the guilt circle begins. The guilt circle begins, with the end game being that you've proved yourself to be one of Jehovah's Witnesses and one of Jesus' followers if you're being tortured in some way, mentally, emotionally, physically. Think about that. Now, it creates a really bizarre dynamic, at least it did in me as well. For me as a child, I built up quite a story in my head regarding persecution. In my mind, it was my chance to be a hero. I'm not going to lie about it. Whether I was, that's a male thing, or a little guy thing, or a Stacy thing, whatever the case may be, it gave me a bit of a complex. I saw being a Jehovah's Witness and enduring persecution, whether it was at school or in the near future when I was being tortured by someone, as a heroic act. I was going to be the next Luke Skywalker or Indiana Jones, the hero of the story remaining loyal to Jehovah and his organization. I was going to be the beat-up guy that endured. I used to sit there in a Kingdom Hall, and I was a big reader personally. I don't know if everyone listening was. I used to marvel at the information regarding Nazi Germany, Malawi, and Africa, which was huge in the 70s. We're going to get there. I read the yearbook stories, a now long-gone book, very interestingly, a huge book we look forward to every year, the annual yearbook that they did away with. Couldn't have anything to do with service numbers plunging, could it? No, it couldn't be. But I would get into the yearbook and it would be filled with experiences of people that had endured persecution from lands, some of which I had to look on a globe or map to figure out where they were. They featured tons of stories of persecution. Men, not much older than me, refusing to go into the military and going to prison for years. So I developed this thinking pattern that they purposely placed and built into my mind, at least, that it is us against Satan and his world, and the good guys must win. For a young brain, it's called a hero complex. And I wasn't too worried about it in most cases because I knew that the genderless angel guys who couldn't resist the beauty of human females would somehow be forthright and strong enough to protect me, come what may. I bring this up because it's often not talked about, that this whole mentality and the teaching is this mental morass that the governing body plunges their people into. If you're really with us, you'll be persecuted, guilt. If you're really with us, persecution is unavoidable, fear. It's coming. Are you ready? I vividly remember my first, and incidentally, my last, shepherding call as just a regular publisher. I got baptized at 17, so it was somewhere between 17 and 18 that I got a visit from an elder. I was newly baptized, and I was soon going to be graduating high school. The elder, who incidentally was a wonderful man, I don't want to go down that story. He came to my house to counsel me or to encourage me on what I can expect now that I'm baptized. And the message was this: Stacy, Satan is now after you. He is after you night and day. He's invisible. You can't see him. He might be in your bedroom. He might be at school. But Satan is going to come after you. Well, I thought, well, wouldn't it have just been smarter for him to make sure I didn't get baptized so he wouldn't have to worry about me? Ah, never mind. The logic of Jehovah's Witnesses. But I can still feel my emotions as I told the elder, a good guy that frankly would years later lean on me when I became an elder with some of his family difficulties and everything. Very ironic. I wonder sometimes if he remembers all this. He was a good guy, but in detail, I remember expressing to him how I was going to be a great man of faith. I don't know how he took this conversation seriously, frankly, that I would endure anything that came my way, that I literally saw myself as someone that could lead Jehovah's people during the Great Tribulation, just like Joshua. I remember saying that, and no persecution would stop me. None would stop me. I still remember the look on his face. I mean, wow. It honestly feels like yesterday. He nodded along and he encouraged me to keep building on those emotions. He had a smile on his face. I don't know if he was impressed or he thought I was nuts. I don't know. I think it's definitely something that feeds the male ego in a young boy. We want to be protectors. We want to be heroic. I look back on that now and I probably should have shown up with a loincloth and a sword. I couldn't have a beard. I couldn't have that. But how did this whole persecution complex get inside of me by 17? How did they embed this in my head? I think that's where I want to go deeper. It's important to take a look at some of the messaging regarding persecution that Jehovah's Witnesses are exposed to. And my God, the messaging is dense. And it is deep. Let's just start with the guy who started it all. Satan. Satan the devil. Beelzebub. That's right. We were prepping to be persecuted at any second in the 1980s because Jehovah and Jesus had kicked Satan out of the house and, well, down to our house on earth in 1914. Could have destroyed him, could have eliminated all this pain and suffering, could have sent him to Mars, but nah, sent him to where this unknowing group of innocent children were all alive and living. So, you know, Satan could persecute us. Oh, and I, now is a good time to give you an update on Satan. He's still here. He's still here, folks, invisibly looking to persecute Jehovah's Witnesses. But this is where the cognitive dissonance starts to kick in. See a past episode on universal sovereignty and how Jehovah can't handle a bully. One of my favorites. But even as a kid, you're wondering, why can't Jehovah just handle the bad guy? And we can avoid all this persecution. All the stuff I read about as a kid in Malawi, in Africa, the Holocaust. Why couldn't Jehovah just not put his kids through death and mayhem? Again, see the past episode. But the conflict in your head doesn't just disappear after you're baptized and the messages of persecution are pounded on you. So take a look at what Jehovah's Witness men, women, and yes, children in any kingdom hall are being taught. At 1 Peter 5, verse 8, they love this one, quote, "Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour someone," end quote. It's there that two things start to develop in the mind of a Jehovah's Witness in reference to persecution. It's us against the invisible bad guys that are stronger than us, so I must be prepared. And I can only do that with help from, you guessed it, the governing body. They will teach me how to be triumphant. And the second, the fear and expectation that horrible things that they're talking to me about, that they show me and tell me about, things like the Holocaust, Russia, Malawi, are definitely going to happen to me personally. Satan, the invisible bully, bad guy, is roaming around just waiting to persecute me. But they don't stop there. And you have to go to the Bible, quoted from the New World Translation, so Jehovah's Witnesses that might be listening will be comfortable. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "Because we have a struggle not against blood and flesh, but against the governments, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the wicked spirit forces in the heavenly places." End quote. Every single witness is exposed to this messaging. Persecution is coming. It's going to get you. Invisible guys are behind it all, invisible boogeymen, and there is no way to avoid it. The invisible boogeyman, Satan the devil, is out to get you. Jehovah decided to let this thing roll on for a while. And he's out to get you constantly. He doesn't sleep, even though you do. He's there at the park. He's there at the school. He's in the workplace. He's on the TV. He's on the internet. He's in your favorite song. He is after you. And he wants to hurt you. That is the messaging regarding persecution to Jehovah's Witnesses. Don't minimize for one second, please, please don't minimize that this endless messaging is not only hitting you at a regular interval, but what it does to any mind, much less a child's mind, it's real. From the May 15th, 2015 Watchtower Study Edition, it reiterates with this message, quote, "Whereas faithful spirit creatures use their power for good, Satan uses his power for evil." There's that word. "And what power and influence he has. The scriptures refer to him as the ruler of this world and the god of this system of things. Satan the devil even has the means to cause death. This doesn't mean that he kills all people directly. However, his murderous spirit has permeated this world. End quote. You're coming in that Sunday for some encouragement. You're rolling into the Kingdom Hall. Freshly brushed teeth and combed hair. And you're reminded that Satan's invisible. He's going to persecute you no matter what if you remain a Jehovah's Witness. And oh, by the way, he can cause death. And even if he doesn't, murderous spirit is everywhere. From the November 2014 Watchtower, it's this little tidbit. Quote, carbon monoxide is invisible and dangerous, as is Satan, end quote. Why do I pepper this? Because they peppered us with it, and they're peppering Jehovah's Witnesses with it today. This message of persecution is endless. The Watchtower of May 2018, paragraph 5, says this. When those angels abandoned God's family, they put themselves under Satan's control. These rebels, however, are not just a mob of troublemakers. Satan has set up an imitation of God's kingdom with himself as king. Note this, quote, in the invisible realm, Satan has organized the demons into governments, given them authority, and made them world rulers, end quote. So no matter where you are as a Jehovah's Witness on this planet, persecution's coming for you in any country of the world because the governing body has told everyone that Satan has an invisible kingdom, he has invisible governments, he's the king, he's given demons his best buddies, he probably has a small circle of guys he really likes, he's made them world rulers? End quote. He has? How do they or we know any of this is true? Do they live in Gotham City? Does Batman know? None of it matters. The 10 jackasses in upstate New York make this statement. All the Jehovah's Witnesses sitting in a Kingdom Hall on a Sunday during this Watchtower study nod their heads, and it's over. It's planted. It's in your head. Satan and the demons run the show in each country. And so as a grown adult, you're looking over your shoulder for Satan and incoming persecution any minute now, any second. There's all kinds of lines of thoughts as to why there's no windows on Kingdom Halls for this reason. The bad guys, both invisible and visible, because they're world rulers over the countries and the governments now, are going to come after Jehovah's Witnesses at any given moment. They are all they care about, Jehovah's Witnesses. The Revelation Climax book, pages 183 and 184, paragraph 24, says this. While the First World War was being fought, Jesus' brothers faithfully kept on with their witnessing to the extent possible. This was done in the face of intensified opposition from Satan and his vicious henchmen, end quote. What? World War I was somehow related to people knocking on doors and handing out publications around the world? They'd have you believe. They'd have you believe. And they planted in the brains by means of their publication, dramas, conventions, videos, you name it. It's an ongoing message. Like I said, it's on their website at the time of this recording. It's the top story, the Holocaust. A horrific human event that happened almost a century ago that they continue to tap into to say, see what we're saying? There's Satan. But it's even worse. Jesus and his 10 guys, I can't get used to the 10 guys thing, are sure to get the message into the minds of children. Baby brains. In the amazing child-centric book called Learn from the Great Teacher on page 51, it plants this seed in the minds of a child. Quote, so, who would you say is our greatest enemy? Yes, it is Satan the devil. Can you see him? Of course not. But we know that he exists and that he is higher and more powerful than we are. End quote. Thank you, governing body. Is he under my bed? Is he going to take my parents from me? Is he going to starve me out like he did during the Holocaust or in Malawi? Does he watch me in the dark while I sleep? What terrible physical things will he do to me? I'm 8. I can't begin to say how bad this is. Persecution, a guaranteed thing that's going to happen to every man, woman, and child in Jehovah's Witnesses, according to them, is regularly fed to these people. Fear, anxiety, sleepless nights, physical reactions, night terrors, sweats. I could go down a long list of what comes out of this message from the Learned from the Great Teachers book on page 51, given to children of Jehovah's Witnesses. I want to move into the history of persecution. And I'm going to be brief on this one, as brief as I can, because there's no amount of time that does this justice. There's greater activists that have done an incredible deep dive on some of these horrors. I highly recommend Paul Grundy's work at JW Facts and many other incredible students who have gone deeper on this subject. But in the interest of time, I want to talk about persecution in the history of Jehovah's Witnesses. Not every example. We'll basically look at one. And why do I want to talk about it? Not because I enjoy it. It angers me. It brings me to tears. It makes me physically sick. And why? Because some, if not most of it, was avoidable. I don't know where I'm going here because it's so evil, it's so sickening, that all I can do is share my thoughts and in my own way try to honor the thousands of amazing people and souls that aren't with us anymore. Men, women, children, that tragically gave everything to a publishing company. To a publishing company. Violence, murder, prison terms, wasted years of life for a publishing company. Look, religion is wrought with a history of persecution. It's a reality in religion. There has always been those that will be opposed to other people's beliefs or their belief systems. It's led to some of the worst crimes ever committed on this planet. So I'm going to emphasize again, I will never minimize this subject of persecution. It truly hurts me. I honestly can't really think about it too long. I can't ruminate on it. But here are the facts in reference to Jehovah's Witnesses, persecution, and history. Persecution is across almost all religions, folks. See the Crusades. See the Holocaust. See the history of Buddhists. See the history of Hindus. See the history of Sikhs, of the Middle East, of Islam and Muslims. Jehovah's Witnesses have been tragically persecuted as well. One example, as we seem to come back to a lot, in 1933, there were approximately 20,000 Jehovah's Witnesses within the confines of Nazi Germany, of whom about 10,000 of those 20 were imprisoned. Half. Jehovah's Witnesses were brutally persecuted by the Nazis. They refused to do military service. They would not give allegiance to Hitler's Nationalist Socialist Party. The history is there. I've been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. I was a bawling mess. It was a one-time visit. I can't do it again. Of those Jehovah's Witnesses in Nazi Germany, 2,000 were sent to concentration camps where they were identified with purple triangles. You remember the governing body rolling out the video. They've got a lot of leverage on this. As many as 1,200 Jehovah's Witnesses died, including 250 of those witnesses that were executed. Religious persecution is real. It's real. And it's sick against any religion, against people who want to believe in what they want to believe in as long as it doesn't harm others. That's the caveat. Some of this persecution was unavoidable. It was crimes against man due to political regimes or other influences. But I'm going to say something very controversial now, okay? I'm going to pause. Trigger warning, whatever you want to apply to this. What I'm about to say is very controversial. Here goes. Persecution of Jehovah's Witnesses isn't because of an invisible angel and his friends. Persecution of Jehovah's Witnesses, in some cases, was thrust upon them by Watchtower leaders, the former presidents, and the modern-day governing body. Many authors and researchers have claimed that the arrests and the mob violence in the United States in particular in the 30s and 40s during those generations were truly the consequences of what appeared to be a deliberate strategy to provoke authorities and other religious groups by Jehovah's Witnesses. It's in print. History shows Judge Joe Rutherford encouraging and cultivating opposition for publicity services to drive publishing numbers in a bid to distract dispossessed members of society and to convince members that persecution from the outside world was evidence of the truth of their struggle to serve God. Does this sound familiar? Persecution identifies us as the one true religion. Watchtower Society literature of that time period directed Jehovah's Witnesses to never seek a controversy, nor resist arrest, but also advise members, to not cooperate with police officers or courts that ordered them to stop handing out their literature and publications and to go to jail if the need be. It's all in print, folks. There are so many examples we could explore. But I want to take the time to look at just one, and I'm going to really try to get through this without being emotional. Look, I don't hide who I am here on this little show. I'm an emotional creature, up and down. I'm going to try to keep it together because this one hits hard and it hits close to home for those of us in my age range, in our generation. I want to talk about Malawi. For those of us in my age group that remember this, the younger generations of witnesses in or out may not remember this as well. It's like everything else in Watchtower history. It starts to fade. They don't bring up this one much anymore. They like to lean on the Holocaust a lot, but this one they seem to dodge. It was the story of persecution in the 1970s. We wrote letters as congregations. We talked about our brothers there in Malawi at every meeting. For those old enough, you remember, you know what I'm talking about. For those young enough, listen in, and please do research. It was horrific what those people were going through in Malawi, and it had a devastating impact on me. Imagine being taught the following, and this is in print, from the guys in New York. Listen, note, pause. What I'm about to share from their literature is a gut punch. It's heinous. I can't believe it's there. If you're emotional or triggered, please, please, please be cautious here. From the yearbook of 1999, there's those yearbooks again. Those were the persecution engine back then. Pages 182 and also found on 189. And buried in what I'm about to read is the reason that Malawi persecution went down, why it happened. See if you can catch it if you're not familiar with the story. Quote, yearbook 99, page 182, 189. I'm going to try to get through this, people. I'm sorry I'm not being dramatic. This one, I can't stand it. Quote, for some of our dear sisters, the persecution was especially harrowing. Already getting me. Sorry, gang. Okay. Many were the reports of rape, mutilation, and the beating of Christian women. Therapy just doesn't do it. The sadistic attackers spared nobody. The elderly, the young, and even some pregnant sisters were put through such cruel ordeals. Some suffered miscarriages as a result. Once again, thousands were forced to flee their villages. Many found refuge in the bush. Others went into temporary exile in neighboring Mozambique. By the end of 1967, the brutal wave of attacks on Jehovah's Witnesses had claimed at least five more lives. The vicious attacks claimed many lives. Here's the hidden reason. Following their refusal to buy party cards, many were repeatedly raped by party officials. In Lilongwe, Sister Magola, along with many others, tried to flee the trouble. However, I don't know if I should have included this. However, she was pregnant and could not run very fast. A mob, acting like a wild pack of dogs, caught up with her and beat her to death. At the campus of Bunda College of Agriculture, just outside of Lilongwe, six brothers and one sister was murdered and their bodies were horribly mutilated, end quote. I am really sorry, but I'm not going to cut this out. Why is this in print? Why in 1999 did they have to tell us about this? I'll tell you why. Because the now 10 guys in upstate New York, now they know what it does to the rest of us. I've been out for 14 years and I can't keep it together. Those same guys, their counterparts in the 60s and 70s are mostly gone, but this isn't. It's in print. And the reason I'm emotional, outside of the obvious, is it was all avoidable. Did you catch it? All they needed to do was buy a card. The leadership of Jehovah's Witnesses set these wonderful people up to be murdered. And not just killed. I'm not going to say. I just read it. You saw how. All to prove their point that Jehovah's Witnesses should be no part of the world. The Awake of 1976, August 8th, page 5, says this, quote, "It is because Jehovah's Witnesses refuse to buy the Malawi Congress party card. This card declares the holder to be a member of the ruling political party of Malawi. But for Jehovah's Witnesses to buy a political card and thus join a political party would be an open denial of what they believe and stand for," end quote. A card. Ladies, I apologize. A fucking piece of paper. That's why. And before you remotely pass this off as, well, it was a political card, dude. Bible says not to be part of the world. Let me remind you of a few things. First, these same guys were just part of the United Nations. It's in print. These same guys utilize and leverage the government at every opportunity. You can't get a passport without leveraging the government. Okay? And let me remind you of some other things in case you're someone who wants to lean into the Bible about what happened here. Anybody remember Joseph? How about Daniel? Two guys Jehovah made sure we all knew about from his magic Holy Spirit book known as the Bible. And both were involved in politics. Joseph was second in command in Egypt as a reward for his faith from Jehovah himself. Daniel was one of the chief rulers in Babylon and the Persian Empire. So apparently the good old boys in New York apparently can't read, they simply forgot, or they're evil. You make the decision. But they sent these precious people in one example, one country known as Malawi, found in Africa, to their deaths over a business card. I'm not going to go into it here, but as if this couldn't get any worse, it does. At the exact same time in Mexico, on the other side of the planet, they allowed the brothers there to purchase a political card simply so they could keep handing out the books and magazines they got out of New York. Let it sink in. If you're not emotional, you're stronger than me. But this subject of persecution should affect you. It should affect you. If you want more in that, as I mentioned, the number one guy I think who's just done an incredible job is Paul Grundy on JW Facts. The history is incredible. But let's be blunt. Some of the persecution faced by Jehovah's Witnesses is due to the now 10 assholes in upstate New York. There's my new tagline. I'm pissed, I'm hurt, and this has been over for 40 plus years. So what? So what? These precious people, these women, pregnant women, what? How do you allow this to happen over a business card? It is one of a zillion references I can make on this, and I simply can't because I can't do it emotionally, okay? But if this doesn't upset you, if this doesn't wake you up as a PME, POMO, whatever the acronyms are, somebody who's on the fence, please, please take these references I just shared with you, go look them up yourself, read it with your own eyes, and ask yourself what you're reading. How is that book still out there? How are they proud of this? Over a card. A card the size of a passport. These people are gone. That, folks, is persecution and the teaching by the governing body among Jehovah's Witnesses. I got to move along. I want to address how persecution and how they leverage persecution to control the minds of 8 million alleged Jehovah's Witnesses today is really all about fear. They've switched gears a little bit in modern times. They don't roll out the yearbook of 1999 as much anymore. They have more subtle means now in what they do to Jehovah's Witnesses. And they tell you persecution should make you happy. Be happy. It's proof you're one of Jehovah's Witnesses if you endure such things. Whether it's in the schoolyard, being made fun of, or whether it's being physically maimed, be happy. Today, it's all about their current videos and photos and illustrations in the Watchtower. In the last 8 or 9 years, Jehovah's Witnesses have been getting a steady diet of what I call the persecution complex from Jesus guys in New York. It's only getting easier for them now to plant these seeds. They have a TV studio. The human eye is the most powerful window to the mind. That TV studio now, they produce videos of Jehovah's Witnesses gathering in secret bunkers as the world burns outside during the Great Tribulation. It's just incredible. All the sights and sounds of a small league Hollywood production. If you haven't seen the video series from the 2016 Remain Loyal District Convention, I can't recommend it enough, but kind of be ready for it. Be ready for it on entertainment value. It features a small group of dubs gathering in a basement, in a bunker, telling their stories of how they got there. It even has secret door knocks featured in order for other dubs not yet inside to enter. There are even stories of those that didn't want to join them in the basement bunker. There are middle-aged actors acting like tough guys as soldiers in full riot gear with machine guns and clubs enter the room, forcing their way in upon Jehovah's precious little group, which looks kind of like an old book study group. We all know that's defunct. That was supposed to prep us for this, too. They're still leaning on it in 20... I don't know. But you literally feel like you're watching a bad B-movie when you look at these. Soldiers forcing their way into the room to get the most important people in the universe, Jehovah's Witnesses. After all of these centuries and these sickening atrocities, this whole story has reached its conclusion. The entire world has turned its attention to a group of people that stand next to book carts in their local park, staring into their cell phones, unable to answer a basic Bible question. Why, you ask? Well, because these witnesses are dangerous, and Satan wants them. In full video color and surround sound. Go check it out. I bawl my eyes out when I consider the atrocities of the past. I see these current videos, and I can't stop laughing. Their estimated 8 million person book and magazine distribution army is a threat to all world governments, to national and international security. No, if you're wondering, it's not nuclear war. It's not the next pandemic. It's these people sitting in your local Starbucks every Saturday morning who won't even come to my birthday party. Those are the people. That's Satan. And all world governments led by the demons are interested in harming. And so we have gone full-scale video production to show you what it's going to look like. There's even another convention video. The date escapes me at the moment, but it features a small group of witnesses gathering together in a huddle in a field as they're surrounded by soldiers pointing their guns at them. The music reaches a fever pitch, and Jesus and the 10 guys in upstate New York and his whole clone army of men, never mind the women that are anointed, appear in the clouds to rescue them. The 2021 convention features a young Asian man who is a Jehovah's Witness, apparently on the down low. He's getting coffee, but trying to maneuver his way around some riot police on the sidewalk, who are, of course, all looking for, you guessed it, Jehovah's Witnesses. This one I loved and laughed and watched multiple times. Why? Well, because they at least made the riot police appear smart in this one. They were looking for Jehovah's Witnesses in coffee shops. It's pure gold, as if subconsciously they slipped and realized, most of our people hang out in coffee shops on Saturdays, and they had the riot police looking for them. All video propaganda pounded into the minds of Jehovah's Witnesses. One of my all-time favorites, and I don't know how they're going to top this, is the image found in the Pure Worship of Jehovah publication, Restored at Last, from 2018, page 186. Please go find this. It depicts a war room where political leaders from around the planet are gathered in front of television monitors, feeding off secret cameras placed where? We don't know. We aren't supposed to think about that. One of the monitors features governing body member Sam Hurd on it. I had to wonder if there was a reason for the only African-American man featured. As they come up with strategy, these political leaders in this bunker war room from around the world, on how to stop the covert Jehovah's Witnesses from handing out more tracts at the doors and featuring a fairy tale paradise, khakis, endless veggies for dinner. Yes, it's right there in print. I looked closely when I saw this one. I wanted to see if they were dispatching Jason Bourne or James Bond to stop the 8-year-old in a local congregation from ringing a doorbell. Nope, not depicted. But I'm sure they're on speed dial, both of them. Jehovah's Witnesses are very, very dangerous to all international entities, international security. More dangerous than terrorist groups, chemical warfare, nuclear codes, or economic collapse. Nope, Jehovah's Witnesses. A war room bunker? With all the nations in there yelling at each other and pointing at monitors? How a Jehovah's Witness today sits in the audience, looks at this, and doesn't bust out laughing proves how deep the brainwashing goes when it comes to persecution. There are so many more examples, videos, photos. Let's just stop there. But please go find these. I can tell you that some of these images will be featured on this little show's social media posts on Instagram, Twitter, etc. if you don't want to put out the effort to go find them. But they're there. They're there. The governing body wants Jehovah's Witnesses to live in fear. They already have the blood of thousands of innocent people on their hands over the last century. They send their people into danger, into prisons. In the very least, they send them into a life of fear and anxiety that it's coming. And they use this whole idea of persecution and the persecution complex to do it. And they sent many people to their deaths as a platform to be able to point at to today's Jehovah's Witnesses and go, see, it happened. And we're going to tell you in gruesome detail how it happened. I ask you again, what defines evil? Sure. Once you've left this cult, you can look back like I am or look on at their current campaigns on persecution and you can laugh. You can make some funnies. There is nothing to laugh about, as I demonstrated very transparently in the last hour. There's nothing to laugh about when you consider those that gave their lives in gruesome fashion to a publishing company in New York, in the United States. Nothing. It's a human tragedy. It's a crime that's immeasurable. Men in power claiming to represent Jesus of the Gospels in an ancient book and his father Jehovah, men who regularly lean into tragedies that could have been avoided in some cases, who produce fearful, dishonest, lying images and videos, guaranteeing that any day now, you too, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, are going to endure tremendous physical pain, torture, loss. They leverage persecution in an effort to control people who just want a better life, a better future. They like fuzzy animals. There is a word for all of this. There is a word. And ask yourself this. Who exactly is it that's persecuting Jehovah's Witnesses? Think about it. Who exactly is persecuting Jehovah's Witnesses? Think about it. Evil. Evil. Thanks for joining me for this episode, folks. Not an easy one. I'm a mess. And I should be. We all should be. It's going on under our nose. If you're a witness listening, hugs. Please think about it. If you're one that's out, still affected like clearly I am, hugs. Thanks again for listening to this little podcast. Appreciate all the support. Wherever you may be, I will see you in about a week. Be well.